Welcome to the Author Factor Podcast, the show for profitable insights and tips with business owners, entrepreneurs, and CEOs who use their nonfiction book to create the ultimate competitive advantage and grow their business. Here's your host, Amazon best-selling author and book publishing coach, Mike Capuzzi.
Welcome to another profitable episode of the Author Factor Podcast. I'm Mike Capuzzi, and I want to thank you for joining us. My guest today is Shanti Hershenson. Shanti is 14 years old and now holds the record as the youngest author and guest on this podcast. She wrote her first two novellas when she was in sixth grade, and since then has written 19 fictional books, mostly in the sci-fi genre. Now, I realize this podcast typically focuses on nonfiction business books, but I could not help bringing Shanti on after she reached out to me. Shanti, welcome to the Author Factor Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate it. And this is no lie, but we have to do this quickly because you've got to get off to school, right?
Yeah.
All right. So it's early morning where you are. So listen, let's jump in here. I think it's awesome. You just told me you're working on your 20th book. If you don't mind, just tell me a bit about how you decided to do all this. How did you get into the book publishing business?
So I think there's some part of me that's always really wanted to be an author, but honestly, it was by accident. The first two novellas I published, I just wanted printed copies of, and I went on KDP, and I just self-published them. And that opened the opportunity later on when I actually was writing my first full-length novel to then end up publishing it. It's a whole long, chaotic story. But really, it was just because I was bored. So originally, I was just writing my first novel during the pandemic, and I wanted to do something. I think a lot of people found something in themselves during that time, and for me, it was writing. But as I continued to write, I started to realize I didn't just want a printed copy of this book. I wanted more than that. I really wanted to publish it. I wanted to get my voice out in the world. I wanted to do book signings and all of that. And eventually, yeah, I got to do all that like 2 years later. But
now, a novella is a shorter novel, correct?
Yeah.
Yet, I checked out your books on Amazon. You have some like multi-hundred page books. I mean, you have like some substantial books. These have all been written in the last couple of years. Oh, obviously, because you're only 14 years old. I've written a bunch of books. I've never written a 400 page book. Like, how do you do that? How long does that take you to do?
Takes me around. It depends on the book. Mm-hmm. There are some books of mine that are pretty short and have taken me longer than the 400 page ones. Wow. 'Cause usually it depends on how excited I am about the book. Never Dying, I believe currently, is my longest published book.
Yes.
Yep. And it is around 450 pages. I believe that draft, the first draft, took me around 2 months, 3 months, I think. Really, it was all about just sitting down, writing each day. And I was really excited about the book. So what I would end up doing is I would do 1,000 words at school, and then I would do 1,000 words at home. Often, I'm trying to do that now with the book I'm currently writing because I have homeroom now. And I can just write during homeroom. So I'll write like 1,000 words during homeroom and 1,000 words at home. But usually I just do 1,000 words a day.
Shanti, I interview a lot of grown-ups and they struggle to write their book. And here, you know, you are cranking out 1,000 words a day, which is awesome. Congratulations. And I think you can teach a lot of us important lessons here. So, you know, you're just at the beginning of all this. Like, you're going to probably be, if you're not already, a world famous author, right? I mean, is that an intention? Do you want to become, you know, next J.K. Rowling?
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Wow. And, you know, I have so many questions, but I know we have this time constraint, but are you making money on Amazon selling your books? I mean, is it because of the love of writing? Is it also a business for you?
I think so. Honestly, at this point, a lot of the money I make, I put back into doing marketing.
Wow.
I'm 14, so like I can do that. But like right now, I feel like I'm at the kind of point where I'm just trying to build a really large platform. Uh-huh. And it's working. But yeah, I do make a bit of money.
Good for you. So I've got to ask. I mean, I saw all your books on Amazon. The covers look awesome. Your Amazon pages look awesome for your books. I mean, you got to have some folks helping you out. I mean, you must have a team that's helping you out here. Can you, I'd love to hear that. Is it your family, your parents? How are you doing all this? And is it high school or are you in middle school?
I'm in ninth grade.
Okay, so where you're in school, is that middle school or high school for where you are?
High school. So like, okay. I just started high school.
So as a ninth grader, how are you managing this publishing business?
So for the most part, I do everything myself. My parents are usually there just to read the books. Like, honestly, sometimes I don't let my parents read them until they're published. But then I have a writing coach who helps me with like editing and like if there are any plot holes in the book. So there's that. Other than that, it's kind of very chaotic because I do like my own marketing and then like I reach out to cover designers and stuff. And then I book my own podcast too, which is reminding me, I always like, I have a bunch of pending podcasts because I have to just book them and I have to just pick a date in their calendars. I always forget. It's really funny. So for the most part, I am my own team, but I do have occasionally like people help me out.
And I mean, even like your cover designs, do you have like one cover designer you work with over and over again? Do you sort of run contests? Because your cover designs look awesome. Your covers.
For the most part, I like just finding new cover designers and talking to new people. However, the cover designer, Mibblart, they did this book. And they've done, I think, most of my covers now. I've had four or five now? Four covers done by them.
Nice.
There's this one, like, unpublished one that I just completely forgot about. So they do the majority of my covers. However, I've had other designers do my covers. I just really like talking to people and, like, seeing all these different styles for my book covers. It's really fun.
You know, I was proud. I helped my daughter. I have two daughters. They're both in college now. And when my daughter was going into her senior year of high school, so you have her beat, we helped her publish an anthology book on dog rescues. We had just rescued our first dog. And rather than write a whole book like you're doing, we went out and found a bunch of people who rescued dogs and put it in a book, raised a lot of money. So I'm going to have to like send this to her afterwards and say, hey, you know, someone's beat you here. But I love seeing young people who are motivated, who are doing the kind of stuff you're doing. I'd love to hear your tips that you would have for other young folks that might want to write that first book. What would you recommend to them?
First off, write every single day. This is what helped me. And make it consistent. For me, right when I first started, I would turn on a Star Wars movie. I would like put, I would open my document. And I would be write like a sentence or two. And it wasn't really helping anything. I wasn't getting much done. But yeah, I was writing almost every day. So first off, yeah, writing every day is really not substantial. It's really, sorry, I'm so tired. It's... the word, so sorry. It's really like beneficial. Mm-hmm. And it's just what you need. Like, you need to write every single day, and if you don't, that's totally fine. Like, so a lot of people really don't have time. Sometimes I don't have time and I'm just like squeezing it in. And then just please make it consistent. Don't write like a sentence one day and then like 5,000 words the next day. Maybe instead write 2,000 words a day, because I think, you know, you need that consistency, and then your brain gets used to writing that amount eventually, which is what's happened with me. So just every day, it's just kind of natural for me just to write like 1,000 words, and it's basically second nature. And if I don't do it, like, I feel empty. So
wait, are you sure you're only 14 years old?
Yeah.
I could learn a thing or two. That's awesome. And you're right. I think consistency is critical. We're all busy. Life gets in the way. Like you said, you woke up early because you're on the western part of the country. You had to get up early for this interview, but you just got to make it a priority. You make it a priority. You put it in your schedule. Great advice, Shanti. Just out of curiosity, you've written a lot of, obviously, all fiction. You've written some poetry. Do you ever see yourself writing anything in the nonfiction genre?
I've definitely thought about it. I've learned a lot about like writing and marketing now, so I always thought maybe I could write like a book on that. I was thinking maybe on writing and like finishing your novel quicker, because I talk about that a lot. I'm sure people know. But yeah, I think that one, that's definitely like a topic I would write about.
Okay.
However, I don't know if people would listen to the advice of like a 14-year-old. I mean, to be fair, my birthday is in like 11 days now.
Okay, you're going to be 15. That yeah. does change the game. But listen, here's the fact. Here's the real reality, Shanti. You've got 19, soon to be 20 books published. That is no small feat. And yeah, people ought to listen. I would love to stay in touch with you because I cannot wait to see where you're going to be in 5 years, 10 years. You're gonna do some great things here. So,
thanks.
So you mentioned marketing several times. I'm a student of marketing. I've been in the marketing business for a long time. Most of my books are written about how to market with books. Who do you like to follow when it comes to marketing? I'd like to hear if there's anybody that you really think is important that's helped you. But also, I'd love to hear, let's start with that, and then I want to hear a marketing tip, because a lot of people write books and then struggle with the marketing. So who's really impressed you or has really had an impact on your book journey from a marketing angle?
From the marketing angle.
Is there anyone you follow? Or?
I am not sure.
No?
I went to a party themed on my favorite book last night, or a gala, so I think that might win. Mm. Book release parties are pretty.
But there's nobody you're following. There's no other books you're reading that talk about writing books.
Oh, I have completely forgot about it. So when I was in the seventh grade, I bought my first marketing book, and it was the Read Z marketing book. It was great.
What was it called?
How to Market a Book, and it's by Read Z.
Okay.
I actually write my books on there. Anyways, so that book, it was just the first marketing book I've ever read. So Read Z is a company. Mm-hmm. They have a blog and they have a lot of marketing tips on their blog, and I do follow that. Again, I don't know what it was with me in 2020, but I would turn on Star Wars and then I would sit with my computer and just read marketing blog posts. I don't remember which I was paying attention to. But that was the first marketing book I ever received. I think it still might be one of the only ones I have, actually. I have some on Kindle. Anyways, instead of doing my online school, because, it was 2020, we were all on lockdown, I would sit with my camera off and I would just be reading that book. And I don't actually remember what we were learning at the time, but I do remember reading that book.
Wow. So when it comes to marketing, just give me one thing that you think is really important for other book authors, whether they're nonfiction or fiction. What do you think is one of the more important book marketing tips you've learned over your vast publishing journey?
I have so many. Honestly, one of them is experiment with things, discover new things. Mm. And if you're scared to do something, do it. I submitted for a BookBub deal about a week ago. I didn't get picked, but it was just my first time doing it. I just wanted to see, but now I kind of, just from being able to experiment that. Also, I was absolutely terrified to do it. But now I've kind of learned more tips as to how to prep my release and stuff and how to prep my submission. So I think I'm a little more confident that in a month, then I could try to do it again. That's the thing. You have to experiment, and just if you're scared to do something, mm-hmm. do it. Otherwise, spread out your marketing. It's really good, I think, to have an insanely impactful release. I mean, I had 100 ARC readers for one of my books. It was insane. So I think really big releases are really great, but you also have to kind of spread it out, because eventually, your book is going to die out, and that can't happen. So you mm-hmm. have to keep marketing.
Mm-hmm. And you got to write that next one, right?
Yeah.
Very good. I mean, do you see yourself doing this? I mean, you're in ninth grade, so you're probably not even thinking what happens after high school. Do you see yourself going to college, or do you see yourself really building a publishing empire?
I definitely think both of those things. I'm hoping they can be done simultaneously, or actually I'm hoping that my publishing empire can happen before I graduate high school. Because then I can go to college and then I'll be a celebrity. I'm kidding. Then maybe I can. And I'm always scared about getting into college. I think I'll be okay.
Yeah, I think you'll. My daughter who did that, the dog rescue book, we didn't do it for this reason, but she was doing it as she went into her senior year of high school. So when it came time to do the college applications, she got into every school she applied to because she used the book as her story. And she got handwritten letters. She got a ton of scholarship offers. One dean, she was applying for journalism, so one dean actually wrote a letter back to her saying he would love to have an author in the freshman class. Ironically, the school she went to was the only school she didn't get a scholarship offer to. But she's now a senior in college. But I think you're going to be okay. So
yeah.
I'm assuming you do a lot of writing, but when you're not writing, like, what are they, almost 15-year-old, what do you like to do for fun?
I like to do a variety of different things. Of course, I like to read. Yeah. I'm saying that as I'm in, like, a huge reading slump. I like to hang out with my friends. I skateboard occasionally. I skateboarded a lot more in 2020. I don't as much, but I still do occasionally. I also do free running and do falconry.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Do you and your family have falcons, or is it something you?
I've just taken lessons. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So you're not the typical 14, almost 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, are you building a pretty big social media following? Is that something that's important to you? Yeah.
Yeah, I think social media is. I can't believe I didn't mention earlier, but social media is very critical to writing. I think authors really need at least one social media. I have a lot. I always forget I have Twitter, but I don't really use it. I just repost things. So.
Good for you. Listen, before we wrap up here, I know there's a part of your life that's a little more personal and a little more unfortunate, it sounds like. And ironically, another gentleman that I just had on my podcast, he just posted a video yesterday, and he talked about it on my podcast. I just released it last week, where his son actually committed suicide because he was bullied. And he was posted a very emotional video yesterday. I mean, it was just horrible, and it's very raw. From what I gather in doing some research on you, you know, you've got some experience with this, and, you know, it's a horrible thing, but I'd love to hear, Shanti, any advice that you would have for teenagers who are facing this and, you know, what you think they should do.
I think the first thing really is to find someone you can trust. I think in everyone's lives, there's always hopefully one person that they can talk to and that they can trust. Hopefully someone who's maybe a little older, or like a parent, aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, like a coach, a teacher, just anyone that you look up to that you could talk to, I think would be really great. Because often people, like, at least I found, like, you know, you're gonna kind of isolate themselves and they keep it and they don't want to talk about it. But if you can find someone who can help you, they could help you go to your school, they could help you speak up about it, and they could help you feel less alone. Otherwise, I'd say distance yourself from the situation as soon as possible. What I found actually in my situation, this doesn't go for everyone, is that the bully was someone in my friend group. And I really should have left the friend group. If you have other friends, if the bully is in your friend group and you have other friends, try to go to them. I always am worried about telling people to tell the people that are friends with the bully right away. That can go one or two ways. So again, it's like, you know, only take my advice if it works for your situation, really. There's a ton of advice online, and not all of it is going to work, like, for you. Because I think bullying, it's a very broad thing, and not one piece of advice doesn't work for every situation. I think, yeah. I don't know, I think finding an adult might. Yeah. I'm not sure, though. Yeah. But I think that would be really great. And also, just know that you're not alone. I'm trying to remember this. I memorized, like, all the statistics in, like, seventh grade. I think at least over half the population, I think it's more than that, has been bullied. Mm. So you're very much not alone.
I think your advice of seeking out some sort of counsel, you can't feel alone. I mean, the gentleman that I was just sharing about, his son, it was in a friend group. It was a friend that he considered a friend that really initiated it. And, you know, it's just, as a parent, it's just horrible. You know, you can't imagine. And there's a lot of people that are hurting. And you're right. I think, you know, you've got to seek out counsel. And I was just having a conversation this morning with a good friend of mine who's has a son in high school. And we were talking about this. And he was talking about how the schools aren't handling this. And I know you have some advice with this. Like, you know, how can, in your opinion, Shanti, can schools handle bullying better?
So many schools say they have a zero tolerance policy for bullying, and then it ends up being like the bully gets more chances than you do. I'm saying that because, so what happened to me under the school's handbook should have got the bully expelled, and for some reason they got one day in school suspension or whatever it was. I don't even know. We think that's what it was. And then that was that. They were done. And everyone was like, okay, mishandled. You have to move on. And then they kept doing things. And they were like, sorry. And they just refused to handle it. And then the pandemic hit. And then 2 years passed of arguing with my school administration over that. Because there were some other stuff that happened to my sister, too, that I kind of can't talk about because it's a little explicit. So, yeah, then 2 years passed. Still arguing. I kid you not. I argued with my school administration from October of 2019 till the end of eighth grade. There was pretty much almost 3 years. It was ridiculous. So handle it. Schools, they need to understand the situations better, and they need to keep an eye out. It's always like, oh, we didn't see it. Then maybe watch and see what's going on. Currently, actually, the school I'm at right now is handling it very effectively in the sense that kids are getting sent to the principal's office for bullying the moment it happens. And it's much better. That school, the school I'm at now, the environment is so much better than my old school. Because you can't let things kind of just be pushed under the rug. And also, there's this sort of, with bullying, there's this sort of trying to understand the bully and trying to understand, it's like there's two sides to the story and we need to understand both. Honestly, in a situation like that, when you're saying how there's two sides to the story, it's very hurtful to the victim. Because, like, then it's making me feel like I did something wrong, and it's, like, a conflict when it's literally someone, like, just threatening me and saying a bunch of horrible things. So that's another thing. Put the victim before the bully and handle it. Like, I say handle it as if it's easy, and I feel like it should be really easy to understand for school administrations. Like, bullies don't need 100 chances. They should only have one. I mean, maybe two. But they kind of can't keep, and if they keep doing it, like, expel them. I think, you know, a lot of schools really can't expel kids. I don't know why. And they should. Like, I don't know. I'm maybe a little, you know, I really don't get in trouble much, so it's hard for me to just say that. But just
yeah, well, listen, them. I think yeah. Having a little more, a little more lines in the sand that just can't be crossed. And when they're crossed, you know, enough's enough. But I'll tell you, Shanti, maybe it's not an author that journey you should be on. Maybe you should be running for office.
That might be
people,
fun.
More people thought like you, I think things could maybe get a little bit better. So
Quickly, I just thought one more thing related to bullying that schools can do. And just honestly, kids acting up in general, but mainly like bullying. So I've been to a couple different schools. The school I went to for fifth grade, it was in Los Angeles. It was great. Loved it. Anyways, they had a thing where at the beginning of the year, we had to sign these agreements. And, you know, it was like, I won't bully people. I'll treat people with kindness. And it worked. Mainly because they would have, if you did something that didn't abide by those agreements, you would have to sit with the teacher and just reflect on it. It was honestly it was a punishment, but it was not that bad. But everyone was terrified of getting one and having to do that. And it worked. So I think, you know, if middle schoolers, mainly middle schoolers, I don't know, high school's a lot better, but if middle schoolers want to act like elementary schoolers and want to be horrible to each other, then why not?
Well, listen, I applaud you on your advocacy for this. And, you know, obviously it's such close to home for you. So keep up fighting that good fight. And, you know, it looks, you know, I'm sure you're even going to become a resource if you're not already a resource for this important topic. So, Shanti, as we get ready to wrap up here, because I know you got to go to high school, you're on the Author Factor podcast. I'd love to hear at this point in your life, what does it mean to you to be a published book author?
I think it means that I can express myself exactly how I wanted to express myself when I was 10 years old, only that I can have other people read it. To me, honestly, just especially with fiction, it means that I can give people like worlds to escape to, and I can give people like basically entertainment. And so ultimately it is still creating, but it's also, you know, inspiring. I do like inspiring people, and I do like sharing my story. I'm a firm believer that no one is too young or too old to write a book. And like, yeah, you know, I think a lot of people really don't understand, like, you know, if you're not 14 and you haven't written a bunch of books, you're doing fine. I have a lot of people comment on my social media. It's like, oh my gosh, what am I doing with my life? You're doing fine. Like, if you're 14, haven't written a book, I promise you're doing fine. If you want to write your book and you put your mind to it, no matter what age you do it at, that's impressive and it's incredible.
Amen. That's awesome. Well, Shanti, this has been great. Congratulations. And how can, you know, where can our listeners learn more about you? Obviously, all your books are up on Amazon, but give us your different places where people can learn more about you and all your books.
So first, you can find me on my website. It's shantihershenson.com. That's shantihershenson.com. You can also find me on my TikTok, which is at Shanti Who Writes. I know that sounds silly. I post a lot of just writing-related videos, occasionally some reading-related videos, just like tips, everything. If you want to learn more about my books, it's also like a really great way to find things out if you want to go deeper than just reading the blurbs and seeing the covers. All of my books, of course, are available on Amazon. If you look up my name, if you look up any of my book titles, they should come up. If they don't, I'm going to have a problem. Otherwise, you can find me on basically anywhere you buy books online. You might walk into a bookstore and see my books. I've had it happen. People are like, wow. Shanti, I saw your book in my local store. I'm like, wait, what? So someone sent me a picture from their school library. It was wonderful. So really, if you just look me up, I'll be there. I'm also on Instagram. It's just at Shanti Hershenson. And then I think I mentioned earlier, I'm on Twitter. I don't use it. So occasionally I just, if someone tweets at me or like tweets about me, I'll just repost it. My Twitter content's very interesting.
Very good. Well, Shanti, again, I know you got to get to school, so I do thank you for your time. I thank you for your inspiration. I thank you for what you're doing. You're making a big impact. I don't even think you even realize the impact that you're making already. So congratulations, good luck, and have a great day at school.
Thank you so much.
And to my listeners, thank you. And if you found this podcast helpful, please help me grow it by sharing with your network and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. Till next time, this is Mike Capuzzi.
Thank you for listening to the Author Factor Podcast. To learn more about Mike's unique short book publishing opportunities, please visit BiteSizedBooks.com.